Well, welcome everybody here today that's in the auditorium. I'm not sure, I think some folks are in the closed circuit rooms and stuff. And our guests that are here, thank you for being here. And for you that are on Zoom, thank you for being here. And I hope you're enjoying this and your cup of coffee in your hand and you're still in your jammies. Be comfortable, but we miss you being here. We try our best to make the Christmas service to be something that people on Zoom and also here can really enjoy together. We've done our best to make it personal, make it connect, but we're so glad that you're here. And we got a lot more to come up afterwards. We got some beautiful music, so stay for the entire service on Zoom. You're going to enjoy this. And obviously, we wish you all a Merry Christmas this coming week. And we're getting close to the end of 2020. Are you ready for that? I definitely am. And so looking forward to a brand new year. Next Sunday, we're going to share a little bit, talk about, reflect on this year, and look forward to the next year. And we're going to try to find a way for everybody, whether you're on Zoom, to participate and be a part of that and stuff. So be here for the last Sunday of the year. We'll close it out, and we're going to have prayer for the new year coming. I want to talk today, and I always try to bring a Christmas message that's relevant, and something I think needs to be heard and something that can help us as we go forward in our lives and serve the Lord and everything else. And I titled this today, Be the News. You know, 2,000 years ago was an incredible event. And it was an event that brought Jesus into the world. God sent him to be the Savior of our souls, and he did it in a unique way. He brought him through the Virgin Mary. And it was really a difficult time for them. You know, if you think about it, she knew and Joseph knew that the baby had been conceived of the Holy Spirit, but try to convince the world around them. There was a lot of shunning. There was a lot of probably whispering. We all know how that goes, a lot of gossiping. You know, Mary's with child and they're not married yet and all this kind of stuff. And it was a difficult time. And there was a decree that God sent through the angels to be able to inform them about this event that's taking place. And he calls it something special. That's what I want to talk about today. He calls it the good news. So we're going to read, first of all, in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, verses 1 through 14. It'll be on the screens here. If you're at home, you have your Bibles, that'd be great. But is the Christmas story a part of it? And it says this, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cryonius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, where he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register Mary, and who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came that the baby would be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. And because there was no guest room available for them, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, as you can imagine. But the angel said this to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." You know, the story is interesting because the mixture between what's going on in Israel with the Jewish people and the Roman government, and basically after the great Caesar had gone off the scene and they had a new Caesar come on, they were all named Caesar after that, he decided that he needed to get a count of all the people and all the territories of the world that the Roman Empire controlled, and he wanted a census, and a census was mainly so that he could figure out how to tax them all a little more and stuff. And so he put a decree, and he said basically that everybody needs to go back to their hometown. This is kind of interesting, because can you imagine a census being taken today? We just had our census taken in this country, and they said, "Everybody, you have to go to your birth town." That would cause a tremendous amount of confusion. I would end up back in Dearborn, Michigan. And so, but they went there, and before this, obviously, we know that Mary became expecting through the Holy Spirit. There was a lot of situations where Joseph was not sure about this. He was convinced by the angel that this was a good thing, this was a Messiah. And so they get all the way down to Bethlehem, and while they're there, she's expecting. She traveled when she was 9 months pregnant, and she began to go in labor, and she began to go through the birth situation with the baby. And when she got in the situation, it was a terrifying event because obviously this was something new to them. Well, it's interesting because you have the angels appear to them with the shepherds and stuff, and they give that phrase there, don't be terrified. Now, some translations say don't be afraid, but I think the word phrase don't be terrified is probably a little more relevant. And this is what it says here. It says this, it says, don't be afraid, don't be terrified. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all people. Let's talk about the good news. The good news back then was very compelling. It was compelling news. It was something that was going to be there for the entire world, not just the Jewish kingdom. But since that time, what has happened to the good news? I mean, you would think that this great event, leading up after that 33 and a half years later, that Jesus would be crucified, that the whole world would be convinced and compelled to follow God because of this great individual that came on the scene, Jesus Christ. And you would think by this time, 2,000 years later, that everybody would be following Christ, everybody would be a Christian, everybody would have the same mindset as Jesus Christ has. But over the years, we have found that Christianity at times has become mocked, has become belittled, has become doubted, has become many times shunned for many other belief systems. But many times there are people who basically just don't believe at all. And it's not because of the good news that originated 2,000 years ago. It's because of what happened in our lifetime and in previous lifetimes. And the point I want to make here, history has proven that the good news has been reinterpreted to fit our traditions, agendas, and personal satisfactions. When I think about the representation of Christ, I have to ask the question to you and I alike, are we carrying out the good news as it was planned? Do we exemplify the fact of what Christ has done in our lives? Has religion reinterpreted the message of Christ, the good news that will be glorious to the whole world, and made it fit our own human needs? And what I mean by that is this, is that we talk about this season, we talk about the season of joy, the season of giving, and then we live the rest of our year, and are we practicing and preaching with our lifestyle the message of Jesus Christ? Or are we detrimental to the message of Jesus Christ? Religion has at many times caused problems with the message of Jesus Christ. Over the years, we have found that as time has gone on, that churches and denominations and religion as general has added a lot of things to this message that just don't apply. Have you ever been involved with a church that has many rules and regulations and strict formats that you must follow? There's a right way to do things. There's a wrong way to do things. Do we find ourselves in a situation to where people expect Christians to be the kind and gentle and giving people, but at the same time, they observe Christian lives to be those that sometimes are gossiping, backbiting, causing ill to one another, unforgiving, judgmental, sometimes a superiority type of feeling? See, what's happened to the good news over 2,000 years is we as human beings, we like to transform the original message to fit into our preconceived or our environment ideas. We like it to fit us. I grew up in churches, and some churches were wonderful, but I remember growing up in churches that basically if you're a Christian, you had to walk, talk, and look and act just like everybody else. You had to fit into a paradigm that says this is Christian, but it really wasn't Christian. It was a form of Christianity that was developed by people to make it fit into their ideas. Even today, we have many times rules and regulations and guidelines for many denominations. I've seen churches out there, and God bless them. I mean, I pray they're doing a great job. But to be a part of that congregation, you have to do certain things, you have to walk a certain way, you have to shun certain things. There's no diversity. You have to be just alike. You have to agree with the pastor on everything he says. Now, by the way, as a pastor, that would be kind of cool, but that's not what life intended. There's supposed to be diversity. There's supposed to be growth. There's supposed to be people at different levels of understanding, growing at different speeds in their life, all coming together to do one thing, and that is to recognize that the reason for the season is Jesus Christ and nothing else. Many times when somebody were to say, what is the good news today, they will hold up a Bible and say, the Bible is the good news. But I want to correct that. The Bible is not the good news. Now, don't get shocked by this and turn me off on Zoom. The Bible contains the good news. It contains the good news. But people want to know all the time, what is the good news? And we're going to get to that in a few minutes here. When Jesus Christ came in this world and the angels declared, this is the good news, what did the angels, what did God intend to happen 2,000 years later to proclaim that good news? And I'll share that in a few minutes. Now, I can tell you, over centuries, there has been a reinterpretation of even the Bible to fit into the desires and the agenda of people. Back in 1807, there was a Bible that was retranslated. It was called the Slave Bible. Anybody ever hear about the Slave Bible? I know somebody has because I talked about it this week with them. The Slave Bible. In 1807, the United Kingdom developed the Slave Bible because what were they doing? They were recruiting slaves from all over the world, including the West Indies. And when the slaves were coming to different places, it was their hope that they would convert from whatever their pagan religion was into Christianity. But they had a problem. The Bible talked about slavery. And so what do these individuals do? They decided to take this the Bible, and they decided to republish a Bible called the Slave Bible that would delete any references to the wrongfulness of owning slaves. The whole book of Exodus is gone. Because they wanted to make sure that they wanted to propagate Christianity, but they wanted to mold it to their own agenda so that the slaves would not read some and saying, we're supposed to be free because you're teaching us from the Bible. So they took out anything that would apply to the slaves to fit their own agenda. One passage of scripture they removed is in Galatians. Let me read it to you here. It'll be on the screen. They removed this. And Paul writes this in Galatians, chapter number 3, verse 26 to 29. So in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. That's still there. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. This is what's been deleted. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. So they adapted a religious book to fit their own ideas. And that is kind of the things that people do all the time. They add restrictions and rules and regulations and guidelines that God never intended. And what has happened over the centuries, where by now you would think this good news the angels talked about would be so compelling that churches would be packed out, that churches would be overrun, that everybody would be celebrating the real reason for Christmas, that Christianity would be a total consuming thing throughout the world, but it's not. And we have to ask it the question, what happened to the good news? And if the good news is not the Bible, but the Bible contains the good news, but the good news in the Bible has been sometimes reinterpreted to take things out, then what is left for being the good news, and what did God intend for us to do with this? It's all about us. The good news that needs to be shared today lives in each and every one of us. And it's not about celebrating Christmas and doing good deeds and giving gifts and doing charitable things and giving to charities at Christmas. It means that every day of the year, we are the message that they talked about 2,000 years ago. And let me give you a frank statement here. It's this. If our version of the good news is not good news to all, then it's not good news. If we create barriers for people that we simply don't like, if we create situations where we want certain people to attend churches, if we're in a situation where we begin to play games with society, we begin to play games with economic division, we begin to play games with who we think fits in and not fits in, then our good news is not good news. If it's not good news to all, then it's not good news at all. That's why churches ought to have their doors open, and that's why Christians' hearts should be open for diverse people. Whether you fit in with them or they fit in with you, everybody ought to fit in because the good news is for all people. And sometimes I think that's what we miss. When we go out into this world here and we begin to talk to our neighbors and our friends, we ought to be an example of Christianity, the 2,000-year message to everybody we touch. It can be the simplest things. It can be the thing to where you're just looking out for your neighbor to do the simple things. When the snowstorm comes, and you got your snowblower out there, and if you're legalistic, you make sure you snowblow the sidewalk right to the line of your property. Why not go to both your neighbors and take care of theirs? See, we need to be looked upon as those who are kind and compassionate and carry the message of Jesus Christ extremely well, because we are the good news. And I ask this question, are you good news to your neighbors? Are you good news to your family? We're all going to get together with family. Well, probably not as much as we've done in the past, but you get together with family. And there's always tension with family, because there's always, you know, that weird uncle, and I was always the weird uncle, by the way. There's always that person that, you know, they're going to come and they're going to talk about politics, okay? They're going to come, and then they're going to make it even worse. They're going to talk about religion. And for gift, they're going to give you a book of something that you know you totally don't agree with, but they want to make sure you read the opposing side, and they want to talk to you about it. We have all this stress and all this tension. The attitude of us in all our environments and all our relationship is that I am the last measure of good news this world may ever see. And let kindness ring. Paul talked about this. He talked about this. So let's go first to Matthew when Jesus talked about this. So we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount in our midweek motivation. And look what Jesus says here to you and I. And this applies to 2,000 years later. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. It is the same way. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your, here's the word, good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When Jesus was talking to these groups of people, he was trying to tell them, listen, you are now the good news. Let your good deeds convince other people so that they will glorify God. The Apostle Paul even made it more personal, the good news made personal in the book of Philippians. Let's read it there. He says this to Christians back then and Christians today. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, and if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by living like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind. Look at that. Having the same joy. Complete my joy. Do the work. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but to each other's above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but each other's interest of the other. If your relationships, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to death, even the death on a cross. And the death on the cross was the most humiliating experience. Both Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and Paul in the book of Philippians cover this. They basically say, listen, you and I are the last defense and the last offense for grace in the society. And when the angels came 2,000 years ago and they said, don't be afraid, and by the way, there's a lot of fear today in this world. As we know, this year has been a very fearful year. We've dealt with a pandemic. We've dealt with a lot of economic woes. We've dealt with a lot of stress. We've dealt with a lot of depression. We have people that are just, at this point or whatever, there are people that are going through so much emotional distress. And this has probably been the year defined as the year of fear, because people were fearful about the pandemic. Every time you hear somebody came in contact with somebody, you want to know, did it come in contact with you? And you live with a little bit of apprehension. Should I go out? Should I do this? That's a type of fear. And then when you find yourself in a situation, and maybe your job was there at first and not there later on, or maybe things have gone bad or whatever, you begin to get a little fearful. This has been the year of fear. And if the angel of the Lord were to come to this world today, he would tell the world, don't be fearful. Don't be terrified. I have sent good news into the world. And he was saying that good news is those that are following Jesus. And our responsibility in these times especially is to be the news. So I asked the question, what kind of news are we sharing? All year long, what kind of news do we propagate to the world around us? What kind of attitude do we have at our workplaces? When people are going through fretful times and stuff, are we the ones that give encouragement and strength and show some faith and hope? I talked about this last week. We have all the reasons for hope. Are we the one that are the calming effect? Are we the serene-looking people that when things are kind of going bad all around us, are we the ones that says, I'm not panicking, God's in control. I got the good news. See, if you study the New Testament, you will find, although the Bible contains the good news, all through the New Testament, it's very clear about you and I and our conduct and our vision and our attitude and our focus is that people are looking for hope today. So when you see somebody discouraged this week, lift them up. You see somebody in need of something, supply it. If you see somebody in need of something that you can't physically, able, monetarily do for yourself, contact us. And we're putting an email out to our church, and we'll see what we can do. Because if one person can't do it alone, collectively, we can do a lot more. And we're not in a church that's in a wealthy situation, but I tell you one thing, I do believe that our people here would sacrifice an awful lot to make sure somebody is cared for it in a time of need. That single mother that's trying to raise her kids. That single dad who's trying to raise the kids. That elderly person who has locked themselves up in their home this entire year because they're afraid to go out because of a health risk. Maybe grab the family, go by there, knock on the door, stand 6-7 feet away and sing some carols to them. People need to be the news. Christians need to be the news. You see somebody on social media that's going through a down time, and we all see it. I'm needing this. I'm a single mother going through this or whatever. And we pass by hoping somebody might intervene. Say something or whatever. Be the news. You get to work. And that person at work is depressed because this is the first year they won't see their family and stuff because they're all by themselves. They have nowhere to go for Christmas. And nobody wants to invite somebody who's a stranger because they're afraid to bring them into their house. Maybe reach out to them. Invite them. Create measures that are safe, but don't let the loneliness continue. See, I really believe we have the greatest opportunity during these times to take the message that they said in the book of Luke, this is good news to all people, and become the news. I really believe that's the message of the season. Kathy sung the beautiful song there, these times are different. We've all seen people are struggling. I think it's going to get better with the vaccine that's coming. Now, the other day, we were watching the news, and the commentator of the news made the worst mistake in his life. They showed a video of giving the shots in a nursing home, and they said, so happy to announce that the virus has arrived, and they're giving the virus at nursing home. I think he meant the vaccine, but he said virus. I thought to myself, that's not a good statement to make, but he said it. I'm going, please correct yourself. It sounded like, okay, we're going after the nursing homes now. Meant the vaccine. Gave him some grace there. But it was kind of funny when I saw it. I do think things are going to get better. But if we learn anything out of 2020 and the Christmas season, is there is such a need for human contact, reaching out, sharing, sacrificing, caring than ever before. And we are commissioned to be the news. That's my encouragement. Let me give you the walk away this morning. The walk away is this. We should be more concerned with good things happening around us than good things happening to us. We should be more concerned about good things happening around us than good things happening to us. We should not be selfish and say, I have my needs, I'm going through a rough time, and we all are. I found the best way to get out of the blues of a rough time is reach out to somebody else going through it because you're not alone. We should be more concerned with the good news, the good things happening around us than the good things happening to us. When we get that mindset, I'm more concerned about you than I am me. As Paul said here, that do it unselfishly and be the news to the world around us. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? You're here today, and this may be the first time with us, and we're so glad that you chose to spend Christmas Sunday with us. If you're going through a discouraging time, we definitely want to pray for you and encourage you. But as a church family, we have had an unusual year, to say the least. And it's been stressful and difficult at times, but we've gotten through it. Next Sunday, I really want us to come together as a church family on Zoom or live, and if you can make it here, it'd be great. But I want us just to end the year just reflecting, but also begin to refocus on 2021. It will be a slow start because the vaccine will not have hit the mass immunity yet. But we can begin to make plans to be able to reach out more and more to our community. People say that I want to just forget about 2020. My answer is, you don't want to forget about it, because there's a lot of great lessons learned during this year. We learn more about ourselves. We learn more about our relationship. We learn more about our commitment to God. And so many have succeeded so well coming through it all. But as you go out, especially this week, whatever your environment you're going to be with, you're going to be with workmates and friends or whatever, and there are not a lot of big parties going on and stuff, but you see somebody that's discouraged. In fact, don't wait to find out later on. Check in on your friends and your family and the elderly and those folks that are in need. Be the news. Because I really believe, just like the angel said, don't be afraid, I bring good news. I really believe you and I expressing good news to ourselves will evaporate the fear in people's lives. Because I've learned one thing, it's about human contact, it's about connection, it's about relationship. Man, we learned that this year. We are hungry for relationships. Be the news. Father, we're so thankful that you brought us together. I pray, Lord, that the simple talk today is structured to be able to motivate us, Lord, to carry out the mandate you gave us, Lord. And although the Bible contains the Word of God, the Bible is clear that the good news going out is actually you using us to be a light into this community, into our world. May we shine, may we be the news, may we make the difference in people's life. That's our Christmas gift to you, on behalf of you, to the world, that we will be the news. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.